So good evening. It is great to see so many of you here for the five young. They're not five young. There's four younger and one older who will be baptized tonight. At TEC, we do believe in credo baptism, meaning that we believe that baptism is something that is part of one's profession of faith. At the same time, a lot of us have come from churches and backgrounds where baptism was kind of kept off from our younger people, even though we were trying to train them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We wouldn't let them profess that faith until they really proved it. And in some cases, that could be 13. In some cases, a church that we know about, and actually I really like a lot of what they say, 21. So you can't profess your faith in Jesus until you have really proved it, that it's your own. But the Bible actually says that baptism is supposed to come nearer to the beginning of your life of discipleship. And in fact, in Romans chapter 6, it talks about the fact that it's a weapon in our sanctification. So we basically, should we continue to sin that grace may abound? No, do not know that those of you who have been baptized into Christ's death, you are no longer than slaves of sin. So we were basically then asking a young person, a young disciple, to prove that they didn't need the weapon of their baptism to fight their, to fight for the sake of their sanctification. That seems wrong. So we do actually baptize those who are younger professors. And I think the youngest ones that we have tonight are actually 6 years old, including our youngest daughter, who has given me more grief about not getting baptized than any of my previous children. So probably for close to a year, is that right, Mo? A year? She has been saying, when I be baptized. And so we've had a lot of great conversations related to that because she loves God and wants to get baptized and be recognized as part of the church and get communion. She wants that. And we have wanted her to want that. And so it's very exciting. And so for all of those younger ones who are being baptized tonight, we recognize this is not the end of anything. This is the beginning of their life of discipleship. The last person to get baptized tonight, he's been a Christian for 48 years or so. So he's got his own part of his testimony that I think will be encouraging to everybody as well. So first baptized tonight will be Keila Higgins. Okay, so Keila, mm-hmm. Why do you want to be baptized?
Because I want to do communion.
Because you want to do communion? Mm-hmm. Now you told me you weren't going to get nervous. Come on. You're doing great. Okay. So it's not just because you want to do communion. You love somebody. Mm-hmm. Who's that?
God and Jesus.
God and Jesus. Okay. So you want to get baptized. Who says to get baptized? Did I tell you that you had to get baptized?
No.
Was it Papa?
No.
Who said you have to get baptized?
God.
God does, right? Jesus said that as his disciples, we should be baptized. And so, who is Jesus? Jesus is the one that told us to get baptized. Who is Jesus?
God's son.
God's son, that's right. And what did Jesus do that was so significant? Why do we care about Jesus?
He died on the cross for our sins.
He died on the cross for our sins. And then today is Easter. And so what happened on Easter?
He rose again.
He rose again. That's right. Because if he had stayed dead, then that would be no good for us. We'd still be dead in our sins, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you know what sin is?
Sin is if you mean it's just your mom or dad.
Sin is if you disobey your mom or dad. Are those the only sins?
No, there's more.
There's more. Good. Those are just the ones that you deal with first, like when you're a kid, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so where do we learn what is a sin?
In the Bible.
In the Bible, right? And so the Bible says that sin is anything that God says don't do. Mm-hmm. If we do that, that's sin. Mm-hmm. And what happens if you don't believe in Jesus? What is the consequence of sin?
You die.
You die. And when we were practicing some of these theological truths earlier, She said, you go and get a fire spanking. Which is the kind of spanking you don't actually want, right? Yeah. So that's all true. And Jesus rose again. And then, so he died, he rose again. He says to get baptized. Does baptism save you?
No.
No? Can you pay him a whole bunch of money and he'll save you?
No.
No? Can you climb to the top of the tallest mountain and then he'll be impressed and you'll be closer to God and he'll save you?
No.
No, so you're saved by?
Faith alone.
Faith alone. That is right. Good job. Mini Luther, right? Right there. Good job, by faith alone. Good, so my last couple questions are, if you get baptized tonight, you are telling everybody that you love Jesus more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. And if I baptize you, then all these people who are Christians, they're going to know that you want to be identified with Jesus and with the church for the rest of your life.
Yes.
That's good for you?
Mm-hmm.
So you're ready to learn as a disciple how to obey him in all things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good. So, Keila. Based on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, this is Lucy Bowers, and you are in first grade? Yeah, awesome. So, Lucy and I have had a few conversations about baptism, and so I'm going to ask her some questions as well. Because there are some things that she says she forgets easy, and then there are some things that she says she never forgets. And these are the key things. So, have you ever forgotten that Jesus is God?
No.
No. She believes that Jesus is God and never forgets that. Good. Have you ever forgotten that sin is disobeying?
Yes.
Yeah, because that's actually a way to sin. So that could actually be kind of a trick question. I don't mean it that way. But yeah, sometimes we forget that disobeying is bad. But what happens when you sin? Like, what's the consequence of that?
You die.
You die. And really, eternal death is separation from God. So that is not good at all. So Jesus is God. And sin is the problem. What did Jesus do about our sin?
He died on the cross for our sin.
He died on the cross for our sins. That's good. And then did he stay dead?
No.
No, what happened?
He rose again on the third day.
Absolutely. That's like today, almost 2,000 years ago. So that's really good news. And why do you want to get baptized? Does baptism save you?
No.
No? So why do you want to get baptized?
Because I want to show everybody that I love Jesus.
That's awesome. And your mom and dad are very excited about it. I think lots of people are excited about it because they know that you love Jesus. So this is your opportunity to obey and show everybody that. And are you okay with, so if we go ahead and we do the baptism, mm-hmm. you are okay with everybody knowing that you're with Jesus, okay? And you're okay with saying that for the rest of your life, you're going to learn, not that you're going to do perfect, but you're going to learn to follow what Jesus says and obey him.
Yes.
Okay. Good. We're going to hold you to that. All right? Okay. Lucy. Based on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, this is Madeline Smith. And Maddie, you're a second grader, is that right? Do you know Hallie?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I wonder if she should be in second grade. I'm not so sure. So, Maddie, here we are in the baptism water. Why do you want to get baptized?
To show everybody that I'm a Christian.
Awesome. Okay, good. And Christian, that obviously comes from the name Jesus Christ. And so who is he?
God's son.
He is God's son. Good. And what did Jesus do that is so different than what anybody else has ever done?
He died on the cross to save us from our sins.
Died on the cross for our sins, and then did he stay dead?
No.
What happened?
He rose from the dead 3 days after.
3 days after. That's Resurrection Sunday, so that's what we're going to celebrate. So he died on the cross for our sin. Do you know what sin is?
Disobeying God and your parents.
Okay, yeah, disobeying God. We find out about that in the Bible. So whatever God says, do this, we're supposed to do it. He says, don't do this, we're not supposed to do it. If we disobey, then what do we deserve?
Death.
So that's what made Jesus dying so important, right? So he died in our place so that we don't have to. So you want to get baptized because you want to show everybody that you're a Christian. And does baptism save you?
No.
So what saves you?
Confessing your sins.
Okay, yeah, confessing your sins and then believing all those things you already said about Jesus, who he is, and what he has done. So good, we're saved by repenting from our sins and turning to him, trusting him as our Savior. So as we go through this baptism, you're communicating to everybody that you're a Christian, and are you ready to take on then the responsibilities that come along with that? So like you're committing that you're going to keep learning about Jesus and learning his Bible, obeying your parents, and following what he says for the rest of your life. Okay. Well, that's exciting. So Maddie, based on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, this is Isaiah Vanderbecken, and he has actually written out his testimony, and so he's going to share that, and then I'll ask him some questions after he has gone through it.
I believe baptism is a public confession of faith in Jesus Christ. I desire to be baptized because I want to be obedient to God's commands and be a member of the local body. I want to be recognized as a member of the church because it could help me to grow in Christianity by encouraging me to keep God's commandments. And if not, they will tell me my sin. I used to be sneaky, but I have gotten better. I love to sneak stuff. I thought it was okay. When I was a little older, Mr. Higgins was talking about how sneakiness was a bad sin, and I knew what I was doing was bad, and then I repented. When I am tempted to sneak, I pray to God to help me not to be sneaky.
Good job. Thank you, Isaiah. Yes, sneaky is like a way of lying, even if it's not with our words, right? It's making other people think something by how we're acting when we're not really actually doing what they think we're doing. So that's not good. So that's a great testimony. You answered a lot of things. I'm going to ask you some of those things just to get you to talk about them a little bit more. So you did say that you want to be baptized already. And why was that?
Because it is a public confession of faith in Jesus Christ.
Okay. And so you want everybody to know that you believe in Jesus. Okay. And who is Jesus?
He is God's son.
Yeah. And that makes what he did different because he wasn't just a man. He was God's son and also a man. And then what did he do that was so important that even we're celebrating today?
He died on the cross for our sins.
And then?
He rose again on the third day.
That's right. So he defeated death. So all of our sin, he took the penalty for. And now, like you said in your testimony, he helps us then learn to keep obeying. That's good. So, in telling everybody else that you're a Christian, are you also ready to commit to, because you're in fourth grade, is that right? So, I mean, that's way older than being like a kindergartner. But also still means you may have a lot of your life left to live if God gives it to you, right? So you are saying that you are wanting to obey him and learn what he says to do and who he is and worship him for the rest of your life. So even with all those other fourth grade girls in your class, you are even going to try to obey Jesus, be kind to them. Because that's going to be a test, probably. I understand. Okay. Well, that's exciting. So Isaiah, based on your profession of faith. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, Trinity. I am here to tell you that I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I put down on the written piece of paper that I obey Him as Lord, but I'm still trying to obey Him as Lord. I believe He chose me, and He gave me the Holy Spirit to assist all the way back to when I was 15 and said this. I grew up in a family with a Dutch background, I won't say it, in the Christian Reformed Church. And really, from as long as I can remember, I learned about Jesus and God and the Trinity. And at 15, horror of all horrors, I responded to a call in front of the TV from Billy Graham. The church didn't know what to do with that. But I told them I wanted to join church, and so I did. I participated in and thought I was pretty good because I went to church twice on Sundays. Not a lot of churches were doing that. I was a young Calvinist. Doesn't get any better than that, does it? So it took a while for the Holy Spirit to convict me that sin was rebellion against a holy God. So I spent, got to be careful with that I word, because I've had an awful lot of help from the Holy Spirit along the way. But I started to run into the world where there were different viewpoints of how the world came to be, how we came to be. Sin in the world, sadness in the world. But I was held rock solid because I didn't want to deny my confession ever. What I did want to do was have a better understanding of who this God and my Savior were. And the church that I belonged to believed in blind faith, or that was the impression I had. Questions weren't approved of, welcomed. Read the confessions, read the creeds, read the formularies. And so at some point, I heard about a large non-denominational church, and I went there and heard expository preaching for the first time. And that church had seating for 3,504 services. And yet I walked through the door and felt at home. Again, the Holy Spirit was at work. If you ask my family, when I went to the CR church, I shuffled in the door. When I went to this church, I literally jogged. I was a little bit lighter back then. And couldn't wait to get inside, couldn't wait to hear the preaching. The very first sermon was by a gentleman by the name of John Stott. And he identified spiritual deadness. I don't know if you've had this feeling, but I was convinced he was staring right at me. And I checked him off. I believe there were five. And he got to four, and I said, I've had it. But the fifth one, I checked off and went, I'm okay. But in that church, they had a seminary. I use the word conservative. I would say reformed. And so in order to know more, and again, where did that want to know come from? Where did those life experiences come from? How were they timed? That was all in God's control. I can look backwards and say that now. I couldn't have said that back then. And also, during the years there, I was influenced by R.C. Sproul and his teaching, John MacArthur and his teaching. So how did I end up in Marysville? Again, knowing that God is in control, I believe he was looking at me going, your church attendance after Elmbrook was not good. I didn't want to be a member. In fact, one of the first Sundays, Sean said, you guys try not to be truth tubes. That's probably what I was doing. I was trying to be a truth tube. And so I've been convicted that I belong in a church. So this is a strategy from Jesus to get me sanctified and to keep me going with the obeying of what he needs to be until we become glorified and on the way become more and more righteous. So I'm looking for your help. I've already gotten it. I felt at home here. Where's Brett, my son Brett? Is he here? I came back after the first Sunday, so well, how was it? I said, perfect. And he just smiled at me. And since then, he's seen me join Life to Life. That's not me. Okay? You guys pursued me, but I went. You know, Men to Men, Sue to the women's groups, and, of course, the preaching on Sunday morning. I'm trying to butter up Sean here. But, you know, the Holy Spirit affirms when you're doing the right thing. And so he's affirmed that this is the right place for me. And that is my testimony.
So in order to be a member, though, a conversation then came up about what that takes. And so then we asked you if you've been baptized or not. And then how did that go?
There was no way I was going to be standing in this pool of water. So, even with sanctification going along, the Holy Spirit does it in a way when you're ready. I wasn't ready. And so I knew that if I was going to join here, I would have to be baptized by immersion. I had talked to David, and he said they would have to talk it over to see if I would have to take that step. And I kept waiting for a word. And again, this is how the Holy Spirit works. He's in you. He knows your questions. He knows your struggles. And I have every confidence when I have those questions that I am going to get an answer. Not when I want it, but when he's going to give it to me. So I was impatient. And I said to my sister the week before your sermon, God's not answering this. So maybe infant baptism is okay. And then came that Sunday morning when, in the first two sentences, I went, this is not going to go good.
My sermon on who we thought we should baptize, yep.
So I went home, struggled all week long, read a book that David had given me, till about Thursday night, and then started to come to peace with it. But I thought, one more time, I'm a stubborn Dutchman. I was going to call David up, and I didn't tell him what I was struggling with, didn't tell him any of that stuff. Just said, I want to talk to you about baptism. Sure, sure. Sunday morning. And I sat down with him a few. He came prepared with a book. He was all set to take me on. I said, so am I getting baptized just to join this church? Absolutely not. Then why am I getting baptized right now? Because you've been disobedient for 48 years. And that is exactly the conclusion that I had come to by Thursday night. You run into the truth. And there's nothing shady or hard to understand about the truth. When the Holy Spirit gives you the truth, that's it. It's over. And I did listen this past Sunday to the R.C. Sproul and John MacArthur
debate on infant baptism.
Yep. And at the end, R.C. said, this is serious, serious stuff. And you should research it, and you should do what you believe. So see where I'm standing? I believe it.
Yep. Yeah, because it's not like you were convinced that you needed to get rebaptized when you were 15. Or 35, you know, or for the last 48 years. So even if you've had thoughts about it, you were in places where you're being taught that that was right. So it's not like you were going against your conscience for the 48 years. But then as you kind of came up to wanting to be a member here, and then the discussions that we've had, it has been pretty exciting along the way to talk to you, even when you have been unsure, like when you're still working on it, because you have also demonstrated a desire to figure it out. So to do what, you know, to actually follow that advice you just said that Dr. Sproul gave about figuring it out. It's a serious deal.
Yep.
So it is exciting, even though this is not the beginning of your Christian life. It is that ongoing part of your obedience, but now believing that the credo baptism is the way to show the church and become a part of the church, you are willing to do that for Christ's sake. So, based on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's great. So it is our responsibility for each one of those who have been baptized and are making the public confession of their desire to be a part of who we are and to have what we have, to participate in every way. So some of them next Sunday will take their very first communion. They've been waiting to do that for sake of making their profession of faith and baptism first. Not everybody does that. We think that that is good. So some of them have been desiring to participate in that way. Others of them still have yet to learn a lot of things about their life of discipleship to Christ, just like some of us who have been following Christ for a long time. We still have things to learn. So Bob's example of 48 years, this was something he needed to do to obey. So it ought to be an encouragement that we have young and old wanting to be a part of what we have. It ought to be a challenge for us likewise to continue to desire to obey, and whatever God has for us, that we would also obey. And it ought to be a reminder to pray for one another, and in particular for those who have professed their faith in baptism. So I'm going to pray. Actually, why don't we have those who are going to lead us in a couple more songs come forward. And then I will pray. We'll sing, and then we'll have a meet and greet. So a variety of people here to see their people get baptized probably. So we can all greet one another, sing a couple more songs, then we're going to recognize some new members who didn't need to be baptized but are wanting to be a part of the church as well. So, Father, I do give you thanks for Keela and Lucy and Maddie and Isaiah and Bob, and for their various levels of understanding, but all of them, their love for you and desire to obey you and the command to be baptized, and their courage. It's not quite the same sort of possibility of persecution that we might get if we were in another country. And yet it does take courage to stand up in front of other people and say, I'm with Jesus. So we ask that you would use even tonight's public confession to be something that gives them courage and boldness in their witness and a life of testimony going forward from this point. Ask that you would help us as a church to be diligent to care for them and love them. Encourage those who are still living at home with their own parents at home. Encourage their parents in that work of discipleship. May you all find us eager and ready to obey whatever your word says for us to do, wherever we find it, whatever stage we're at, however inconvenient or uncomfortable it might be, and whatever it is. Help us be those who obey your Son because we love him. And we pray this in his name. Amen.